So what you think? Should I talk about it? I don't know. I tell you, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it. Well, everybody, the chocolate girl is here. Got to jump into something I swore I wasn't going to talk about. But being on so many sports podcasts and in so many sports groups, the subject comes up every day. It's a subject that gets many people really upset. It's a debate that brings up some of the most ridiculous takes of all time. What do you think I'm talking about? I'm sure you can pretty much guess what it is. Have you figured it out by now? Yeah, it's the LeBron versus Jordan GOAT debate. This subject has been beaten to death, but it won't go away. I have had it. I got something to say, so we're going to get into it right now. Nick Wright and Shannon Sharp, both on the Fox Sports 1 network. Y'all are so ridiculously, insanely crazy. Yes, I said it. I don't care if you get paid to give your sports takes, and I don't. You still don't know what you're talking about. I just watched a couple of videos today with Shannon Sharp just yelling and screaming at Skip Bayless. You know, people are always talking about Stephen A. Smith and how he yells and screams. Why isn't anybody calling out Shannon Sharp on how he talks to Skip? And I know it sounds funny because, you know, when he's got that country twang and Skip, and it's all funny the way he says Skip and stuff. But he's yelling, too. And he's telling, being disrespectful, not only to Skip, but to the players he's talking about. Because he has to elevate LeBron like something just unreal. It is crazy. First of all, this disclaimer. I love LeBron James. I was so excited when he got drafted into the NBA. I have been following this young man since middle school. Being an Ohio girl, I watch and I follow high school basketball and all that very closely. So hearing the name of this LeBron guy from Akron, it started early with me. And I knew, I said, look at this dude right here. He's going to be something. He's going to be something in the NBA. I knew it. But I wasn't calling him better than Jordan then. He wasn't even 18 years old. So anyway, fast forward. He gets drafted. He's in the NBA one season and already they're talking about, oh, he's going to be better than Jordan. I heard it. I was like, how do you know what he's going to be? I mean, this is his first season. Next season, same thing. And Lord, by the time he took that doggone Cleveland Cavaliers team to the finals, people lost their mind. Oh, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. What are you talking about? Nobody was even coining the phrase GOAT before he got into the league, really. We just said that Michael Jordan was the greatest player of all time, but we didn't say GOAT. We just said he's the greatest ever. That's all we said. We didn't do the little acronym thing. But now all of a sudden, you know, them young people, they got to put an acronym on it. Got to put a name on it. You know how that goes. That's just how it is nowadays. The most insane takes that I am hearing about this whole debate from young people, especially, and people like Nick Wright and Shannon Sharp is, oh, well, all you do is relying on championships because he's got 6 and LeBron only's got 4. And you can't go by just championships. If you would, then why don't you say the 11-time champion Bill Russell is the GOAT? And the argument is obvious why we don't say that he's a GOAT. But he is the greatest winner. We do say that. Then they come up with this. Well, he couldn't win without Pippen. As if LeBron won these championships with nobody. He won with more all-stars and top 75 players than Jordan did. What are you talking about? Then they want to say, oh, well, you know, Jordan fans, they act like all he did was play in the 90s. What about the 80s? This is what I heard today. Shannon screaming at Skip Bayless. What about the 80s? Y'all don't want to talk about the 80s. He didn't win nothing in the 80s. So I'm sitting there listening to this. And, you know, I got so hot. It made me wish that I could come on the show and talk to him face to face and tell him about himself, because I'm a Jordan fan too. And I don't run away from anybody talking about what he did in the 80s. You know why? Because the 80s was phenomenal for Michael Jeffrey Jordan. See, he doesn't know. He thinks he knows because he can go Google and write some stats and links down. But he does not know what the hell he's talking about. Shannon Sharp, I mean. So I'm about to break something down to you and tell you why I have no problem talking about Michael Jordan in the 80s. The video I was watching today was Shannon Sharp talking about the comments made by Grant Hill about LeBron. The subject was, no other player, no other famous athlete has had to undergo the vitriol and the hate and the pressure and all of that that LeBron James has had to endure. He says this about, you know, coming into the league and all the hatred. He's 18, blah, 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 child of a single mama, yada, 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 giving all these, you know, flowery words as to why that is the case. And Skip Bayless was like, what are you talking about, man? What? And he just goes all off. He's so hyped, he gets off topic. The question is about who had to endure the most scrutiny. He goes off into the doggone obvious GOAT conversation. So then, of course, Skip Bayless has to, you know, defend Michael Jordan. I tell you, Skip Bayless talking about Michael Jordan is just, I can sit and listen to him talk about Jordan all day. Why? Because he worked the beat. He covered the Bulls when he was there. And getting it from a beat writer that was covering the Michael Jordan's Bulls is just priceless. That's why I listen to Skip Bayless and Michael Wilbon. And I don't listen to too many other people when they tell me it's about what's going on, what went on with the Bulls back then. As part of this video, there was a statement made by another player. And I think it was it Larry Bird? I think it was Larry Bird. After playing LeBron, and I don't remember what the series was or what it was, but he said to LeBron, hey, kid, this is about to be your league. Shannon Sharp included that in his explanation as to why LeBron is the GOAT and Michael Jordan is not, because somebody said, oh, this is about to be your league. I couldn't take it. I was like, what? I got to shut this man up. And then he kept on talking about how we don't want to talk about Jordan in the 80s. So I'm watching this on YouTube and I literally sat down and started typing in the comments. And yes, it's long, but these are some of the things that I said. I told him, I said, look, Shannon, saying that this is about to be your league, kid, doesn't mean he's a GOAT. See, this is the problem. Shannon yells and screams all these facts that can be proven. But what he does is he takes those facts and misinterprets what those facts actually mean. This is why he loses all credibility when he talks about LeBron. it's now comical to me because of how hard in the paint he goes and refuses to acknowledge anything else short of his own opinion. The video I was watching, perfect example. The question was about Grant Hill and what he said about the scrutiny and vitriol that LeBron had to undergo. Shannon answers by going all out on this GOAT conversation when that wasn't even the question on the table. And let me clear this up. Shannon is always yelling about Jordan's time in the 80s when he did not win. Shannon never acknowledges what all of us who follow the NBA knows, which is the Bulls was a team full of drug addicts and lazy players who did not really care about anything but partying when Jordan got there. They were not talented. During the 80s, Jordan entered the league and immediately was noticed. Before Jordan got to the Bulls in the 1984 draft, the Bulls had not had a winning season since 1980-81, where they went 45-37. It was a winning season. It still wasn't that good, 45-37. In 83-84, they went 27-55, so they got even worse. That next season, Jordan's rookie year, 84-85, they went 38-44, better than 27-55, still not a winning season. But they made the playoffs with that record for the first time since 80-81. Why? Michael Jordan. The team was awful, but Jordan led those players to the playoffs as a rookie, where they lost 3-1 in the first round to the Bucks. Jordan also, that same year, won Rookie of the Year, second team All-NBA, and first All-Rookie team. Leading scorer on his team, he won the scoring title as a rookie and was an all-star despite the losing team record. So if team impacts a player's ability to get into the all-star, well, it didn't. It didn't that year. You know why? Because he was so damn good. That's why. They couldn't deny him being an all-star. In 85-86, they went 30-52 and made the playoffs and got swept in the first round by Boston. That's the swept in the first round. He always wants to talk about, he got swept twice in the first round in the 80s. He didn't win because his team was terrible, fool. This ain't football. This is basketball. You only got 15 players. You got 5 on the court at a time. You can't have somebody as talented as Michael and then 4 other no talent folks on the floor thinking that they're going to win. No talent, not less talent, no talent practically. I was like, you know what? You just sound really ignorant. Jordan put on a record-setting performance in game 2, even though they ended up getting swept. He scored 63 points in a 2 overtime loss, which surpassed Elgin Baylor's 61-point performance from the 1962 NBA Finals and still stands today as the NBA playoff scoring record. 63 points. Jordan averaged 44.7 points per game in that series, but was unable to prevent the Bulls from being swept by a more experienced, more talented Celtics team. Now, this wasn't just any Celtics. This was Larry Bird's Celtics with Robert Parrish and all of them, Kevin McHale, Danny Ainge, Dennis Johnson. Can I keep going on and on? You're talking about Hall of Famers, all 5 practically at one time. He did that after only playing 18 games. Because remember, his second season, that 85-86 season, he broke his foot and only played 18 games. But he was still an all-star, and that was not because of the fans. It was not the fans voted him in. Why was he an all-star? Because of the way he played, despite what happened with the team. And then in 86-87, they went 40-40-42. Getting a little better. Now they're 40-42, only a 2-game difference, and made the playoffs. They also, again, got swept in the first round by Boston. Larry Bird's Boston, again. But Michael's performance was so great. Larry Bird said, they just played God dressed as Michael Jordan. So, hey, you talking about the great Larry Bird. This ain't no sucker. If he's going to say it and he played against him and he wanted to win more than anything, please, don't talk to me, Shannon. Just don't even talk to me. Michael won the scoring title that season. Again, highest scoring average, first in efficiency rating, first in win shares, first in plus minus. He was an all-star, all-NBA first team, and second in the league MVP votes. The only reason why he wasn't MVP that season, I believe, is because he, I just feel like it was just a down year. He wasn't injured, but I think this was just a down year. But he still got second in the MVP voting. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Crazy. Anyway, so next. His fourth season in 1987 to 1988. Here comes the winning season. Now, this is just his fourth season now. So he's 3 years out from his rookie year. They went 50 and 42. Right? Only an 8-game difference, but it's a winning season. It was a winning season for the first time since 1980-81. Why? Jordan. Squarely because of him. He was the first team All-NBA. He was Defensive Player of the Year. First team All-NBA defensive team in the Sporting News and league MVP. He was the steals leader, and he won his second consecutive scoring title. Third overall, but the second consecutive scoring title. They made it to the conference semifinals, which they lost 4-1 to Detroit. His fifth season, 88-89, we're still in the 80s, racking up all these awards because he is the baddest player on the court. 1988 to 89, they went 47 and 35. Still a winning season. They lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. The finals. He got to the finals. They lost 4-2 to Detroit. The bad boys, Detroit. The ones that had the Jordan rules. The ones that was throwing him all over the court trying to injure him to end his career. That same year, he, like I said, he was Sporting News MVP. He was the fifth consecutive All-Star, first team All-NBA, first team All-Defensive, second in league MVP votes again, and won his third straight scoring title. So, yeah, I don't skip talking about Jordan in the 80s. I love talking about Jordan in the 80s because no one has ever done anything like this with such a badass team. His performances made him jet to the best player in the NBA, period. He was head and shoulders above the rest. Shannon wants to yell, but he didn't win. No, the team did not win, but it was not because of Jordan. You don't win all these league awards and be the reason the team got swept in the first round by Bird Celtics twice. No, you don't. If it was on him, he wouldn't have won all that stuff. That does not happen. It was like it was Jordan who imploded, costing them the series like LeBron did against the Mavericks. No, Jordan was the only player balling. That's why fans and players alike do not hold that against Jordan, because they see if he had a better team around him, he probably would have won his first chip in 88. One of his greatest, the greatest year of his career. That was just 4 years into his career, his first MVP season. The only reason LeBron fans like to scream, but he didn't win, is because they think that will shut the argument down and say that negates him from being the GOAT. That is the only argument they try to hang their hat on, but they can't when he wasn't the reason they lost and was the reason they even got there with those raggedy teams in the first place. They know it too. That's why when they see that doesn't work, then they start the whole he didn't play anybody false narrative, which has been debunked time and time again. I love Shannon Sharpe, but I have for his entire career, and I still do. But this LeBron thing is not a good look. His arguments are empty. He looks really thirsty. as a man to be talking about this man this way. I mean, Cap, it's so hard. It's just ridiculous. His takes just don't even make any sense. No sense. And always leaving out the fact that LeBron had more help with his chips than Michael had with his. The whole lame, he couldn't win without Pippen argument. Nobody won anything without anybody else. You got to have, even if you have a superstar on your team, you got to have great players around them to win a chip. They don't have to be as good as he is. They don't have to be all-stars, but all-star quality. See, everybody can't make the all-star game. Everybody who's an all-star does not make the all-star game. Let's get that straight. But no, that's what they want to look at. And then don't get me started when they start comparing him to Kobe. Because what I'm going to tell you, and you heard it here first, people going to ask you, people going to start saying, hey, did you hear what Chocolate said? Yes, I said it. LeBron James isn't even better than Kobe Bryant. I said it, and I know I'm right. And you could talk about efficiency. You could talk about, oh, he only has one league MVP. LeBron's got four. Well, you know why Kobe only got one. You know there were at least three he should have had. You know he didn't get those three just because of Colorado. You know that. People don't want to admit it, but that's why. One season he played so well, but he didn't have a winning season. I think either they didn't make the playoffs or he got bounced in the first round of the playoffs. And I know certain folks say, oh, there's no way he could have gotten MVP that season because nobody has a losing record and get MVP. Nobody. Michael Jordan did. Michael Jordan had that. Let me tell you something else Michael Jordan never did in his career. Never lost more than two games at one time from 1990 through 1998. Eight straight years, never losing more than two games in a row. When he finally got to the finals, never had to play in a game seven. Never. You know, they talk about this clutch gene. When they talk about LeBron and the clutch gene, they always want to talk about how LeBron has more clutch buzzer beaters in the playoffs than any other player. But listen to what I just said. In the playoffs, guess who has more than him in his career than LeBron? Kobe Bryant. I assume Michael does too, but I don't know. But I know for sure that Kobe Bryant does. I'm just so sick and tired of these young folks thinking since he's so big and strong that he's automatically better. Because he's this generation, he's automatically better. Let me tell you something. LeBron is not a one-on-one player. He is not a great one-on-one player. Kobe and Michael both could beat him one-on-one easily. Easily. Because he's not as quick and his footwork is not as sharp as theirs. And people love to talk about his basketball IQ and how strong it is and how high it is and how he knows the game and where everybody needs to go. Like he's the only player ever to have that type of gift. Please, I've been watching basketball since 1979. Nobody's basketball IQ is higher than Magic Johnson. Nobody's, except for maybe Jordan and Kobe. LeBron ain't no better than his. It might match it, but you can't say it's head and shoulders above the rest. I've been watching basketball, like I said, NBA, since 1979. It's a lot of games. And again, I'm unbiased. I am a LeBron fan. I remain a LeBron fan until they started trying to elevate him over Kobe because I thought it was so ridiculous. And I knew the reason why it was a coordinated plan by the NBA and media to phase Kobe out because they did not want Kobe to be the face of the NBA after that Colorado incident. So what did they have to do? They had to elevate somebody. And here he came. He was a perfect person to do it. King James, the chosen one. Everybody want to say, give credit to the people putting him on the Sports Illustrator cover with the chosen one, saying, calling him the chosen one as if they named him. No, he was calling himself that before he even got to the NBA. I know, because I saw him play at UD Arena in Dayton, Ohio, when he was in the eighth grade. So, yes, I know that factually. He called himself that, King James and the Chosen One, before he got to the NBA, before he got drafted, before the Sports Illustrated cover. Stop the nonsense, folks. All of this talk, smoke and mirrors, all the stats, he leads in this stat, that stat, that doesn't mean that you are the greatest of all time. This soft-ass league, Michael Jordan would be averaging about 40 points a game, maybe more. He would have an easy time in this league, in this era. Put Kobe Bryant in his prime in this area, in this era, he could too. And let me tell you, somebody else, I'm going to name a third name that could ball in this era, especially as soft as it is. Tracy McGrady. People disrespect that dude. Tracy McGrady was the closest thing to Kobe that you could get to Kobe. That wasn't Kobe. He wasn't great as Kobe, but he was right there. And if he didn't get injured, ain't no telling how far he would have gone. He's one of those players on my list that I wish had gotten a championship because he could go. Got a lot of respect for Tracy McGrady. So anyway, I wanted you to hear it straight from the horse's mouth that I am a Jordan fan that doesn't mind talking about Jordan in the 80s. Because what he did in the 80s, no other player did before him and no other player has done since. How many MVP players do you know won the scoring title their rookie season and rookie of the year and all-star all in the same year? How many MVPs in the NBA was also defensive player of the year at the same time? How many? It might be one. I didn't look it up, but it ain't many. Michael Jordan was a bad dude. The way he would take over games and the way his game even looked. People don't want to talk about how LeBron's game looked. He just looks like a truck that's running down the court. It doesn't look like he's got total control over his body. It's just get out of my way. I'm so big. I'm 6'9", 260, and here I'm coming to the basket. No. Jordan and Kobe, they had to finesse their way to the basket, not overpower with their size. It took skill and talent to get to that basket. Oh, but LeBron was more efficient. Yeah, efficiency. Yeah, that's a GOAT stat. Nobody cares about efficiency until you want to nitpick and downgrade another player to elevate your own. That's the only time efficiency is even mentioned, thought about, or considered. So no, throw it away. It doesn't matter. I got eye tests. I got other players. Let me say something else that he talked about. That 2008 Redeem Team. He gonna sit there and say that LeBron was the best player then. LeBron had just gotten in the league when they went on the Redeem Team. Him and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo had just got into the league. Kobe been there running it. And they admired him. And when LeBron James was in on the Redeem Team and he was asked who is the best player in the world, he said Kobe Bryant without hesitation. He said, but I'm getting better. But he's the greatest in the world. Now these fools gonna go on Fox Sports talking about he was never the greatest player in the world. Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd. And Colin was caught in a lie because way back in 2000, I think it was 11 or 2010, he sat up there and did an interview with Kobe Bryant and called him the best player in the game. Right then. Oh, but now he can say, oh, you can argue he was never. No, he was never the best player in the world. He said it matter-of-factly. It's all a part of the business that they're trying to give Kobe Bryant. Got to elevate LeBron because we got to keep Kobe down, remember? His name can't be prominent because of Colorado. And people want him to pay for that for the rest of his life. And it wasn't even proven that he definitely, without a doubt, did that to that woman. And from what I read, I don't believe he did. But that's a whole nother story. But as much as I love Kobe, let me tell you all this. Michael Jordan is not even my favorite player. Magic Johnson is my favorite player. And I love Kobe. Kobe is like right there with Magic. It's like they're tied. I go back and forth as my favorite player of all time. But I got to give it to Jordan. I got to give Jordan a slight edge over Kobe. People want to say, oh, LeBron is number one or number two player all time. No, LeBron is not in my top five. My top five is 5 Shaq, 4 Kobe, 3 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 2 Magic Johnson, and 1 Michael Jordan. That's it. That's the list. That's the correct list. Yes, that's my opinion, but yes, I feel like I am correct. LeBron, after last season, first of all, after the season before last, when they won in the bubble, but even then he wasn't the best player in that series. That was you know who. That was AD, Mr. Glass. Even though he did get the MVP. It should have gone to AD. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll say that too. But I could tell you when he moved down even further, I had LeBron at 7. But he's now 9. Because when he came to the Lakers and he had them obliterate that team and get rid of all those youngsters that were trying to build something that was on their way and you could see it, and they let him bust it up for the crap that followed and the crap that we got to deal with now, he's number 9. After last season, didn't even make the he's number 9. He's number 9. 10 finals, only 4 chips, you're number 9. Care with the stat sheet? You can fill up a stat sheet. If you're going to go by stats, what about Russell Westbrook winning 2 straight triple-double titles? But ain't nobody trying to elevate him over Michael Jordan. Nobody's trying to elevate him over Magic Johnson. I don't want to hear it. Michael Jordan's the GOAT. It's not even close. It's not funny. I don't care what LeBron does the rest of his career. He can never recoup what he's lost, and he will never catch Michael Jordan. He will be chasing those ghosts forever. So that's 2 things you can remember. I'm not afraid to talk about Jordan in the 80s. And I don't care what LeBron does. He will never be the GOAT. Period. People like Isaiah Thomas hating on him, talking about LeBron is bad. No, that's because he hates Jordan. It's no secret he hates Jordan. But back when he first retired and started broadcasting, he even said that Michael Jordan is the GOAT. After Michael Jordan retired and LeBron was a young NBA player, Michael Jordan is the GOAT. I just would love to know when. What year did LeBron ever become the GOAT? And then, now his answer is Kareem. He takes the safe answer and says, Kareem is the GOAT. Okay. Can't talk about people that have no credibility. Of course, they're going to throw salt. Michael Jordan kept them out of championships. Yeah, the Pistons got 2 back-to-back, but that was it. Once Michael Jordan got the cheat code, it was a wrap. 2 three-peats. Would have had 8 if he didn't go play baseball. Yes, I said it. Yes. So you can send anybody that you want to listen to what Chocolate said about Michael Jordan and LeBron. Send them my way. I'd be more than happy to hear from them. Just when you do, just tell them to be prepared, because I'm not wasting any time with it. No time. I'm not missing words. I dare anybody to come up with some stats to say that I wasn't correct in what I said. Just hit me up, because I will be posting this on Spotify and wherever else you get your podcast, on the Chocolate Writer page on Facebook. You can leave it in the comments. I would love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. So that's my take. Again, follow me on Facebook, The Chocolate Writer. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter, Chocolate Writer without the. So you can follow me, send me a friend request, I'll accept it. You can catch me on The Side Joan on Facebook Live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. You can catch me on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock on Talk Your Ish Tuesday on Facebook Live, where we talk sports every week. It's what I do, and I love it. Thank you for joining me today. And until next time, you know what I do. I wish you nothing but love, peace, and chocolate.